I'd like to recognize my colleagues who worked with me on this, Bill Westerfield, Douglas Biddle, and Soil Moman in the Division of Medical Informatics. All right, presenter disclosure. The following personal financial relationships with commercial interests relative to this presentation existed in the past 12 months. Blue Cross Blue Shield of Tennessee pays my bills. All right. Someone's got it. Okay, the basic research objective here was to quantify the total medical, pharmacy, and absenteeism costs of PQI events, prevention quality indicator events, in an employee population by constructing temporal PQI-defined confinement periods. And you can see the outline there. I'm going to do a short introduction, go into the methods, and then the findings and discussion. All right, the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality has defined a set of 14 prevention quality indicators known as PQIs that measure ambulatory care quality. And basically, PQIs are ambulatory care sensitive measures drawn from hospital discharge data. These are rates of hospital admissions for complications that are potentially avoidable if the patient had received good quality outpatient care. And so really, these are indicators of ambulatory care quality in adult populations for an individual, for a region, or a delivery system. And again, the PQIs really function best as key indicators of defects in ambulatory care quality that can lead to potentially avoidable complications and that really result in a whole pool of potentially avoidable costs in a given region or delivery system. All right, so now getting into the methods of this particular study. In terms of our study design and time frame, this was a cross-sectional analysis of medical and pharmacy claims drawn from the commercial membership of a large health plan in the southeastern United States in 2009. You can guess which health plan that was. Population inclusion criteria. So the eligible study population were adults ages 18 to 64 on January 1st, 2009. And we wanted to try and get at those who are most likely to be employees. So those would be the primary policyholders, not their dependents, from fully or self-insured group policies. And we also limited it to those who enrolled for the entire 12 months of 2009. In terms of the eligible administrative claims data, first of all, we looked to see who had a hospital discharge in 2009 that met the technical definition for one of AHRQ's PQIs. And then we extracted all the eligibility medical and pharmacy claims data for those members with the PQI. Okay, here are the 14 PQIs that AHRQ has defined. Four of them, you'll see, are for diabetes. So PQI 1, diabetes short-term complications admissions rate. Number 3, the diabetes long-term complications admissions rate. Number 14, uncontrolled diabetes admissions rate, which is really a form of short-term complications. And number 16, rate of lower extremity amputation, which is really a form of another form of long-term complications. And then the other PQIs, number 2 is the perforated appendix admissions rate. Number 5 is the COPD admissions rate. Number 7 is hypertension. Number 8 is congestive heart failure. Number 9 we did not measure. That's the low birth weight rate, and that is now part of the pediatric discharge indicators module because it's not really calculated for adults. That's more calculated for pediatric populations. Number 10, the dehydration admissions rate. 11, the bacterial pneumonia admissions rate. 12 was the urinary tract infection admissions rate. 13, angina without procedure. And lastly, 15, the adult asthma admissions rate. And these all come from the technical specifications, version 4.1, December 2009 from AHRQ. Okay, in terms of measurement of our dependent variables, so there are really two different measures we're looking at, rates and costs. The incidence rate is the rate per 100,000 eligible study members for each PQI, and these are adult employees ages 18 to 64. So really, this is a different denominator than what you would see reported for AHRQ's national and regional rates. In terms of costs, well, first of all, there was the construction of the confinement period. And basically, this is the admission and discharge date for each of these PQI-defined hospital stays. And so if an individual is admitted on Monday and discharged on Friday, we would group all the claims incurred during that period together to form the confinement period. And there are six cost categories here: inpatient facility costs, outpatient facility costs, practitioner costs, ancillary costs, which are things like imaging and lab visits, pharmacy costs, and absenteeism costs. All right, here's our study population. So this was roughly 523,000 members. The mean age was 44, roughly 51% male, 49% female. You can see the distribution on the left. In terms of distribution by U.S. Census region, the majority are from the South, almost 90%. Okay, here's a look at the overall rate of hospitalizations and PQIs in our study population. The overall percent hospitalized was 4.9%, and the overall percent with a PQI was 0.4%. As you can see, females had a higher rate of hospitalizations generally, especially in the younger ages, which might be explained by pregnancy. However, they also had a higher rate of PQI hospitalizations than males, and that can't be explained by pregnancy, because that pregnancy-related claims are excluded from the AHRQ specifications. Okay, in terms of just looking at the raw count of PQI events and incidence rate per 100,000 overall, you can see in the little table up on the right-hand side, the rates per 100,000 is just under 500. In terms of the top five PQIs here that I draw your attention to, number one is bacterial pneumonia, and the rate there is 130 per 100,000 study members. Second would be adult asthma with a rate of 61.8. Third would be the urinary tract infection with a rate of 47.6. Fourth would be congestive heart failure at 47, and fifth would be COPD at 41. If we want to look at this in terms of raw dollars, the first thing to note in the table up there in blue, so we have total costs for this population of around $3 billion. If we break it down, the inpatient costs would be 7%. And the total PQI costs would be 1% of that total. The top PQI in terms of dollars was bacterial pneumonia, followed by diabetes long-term complication, congestive heart failure, perforated appendix, and adult asthma. In terms of average cost per event, the most expensive in terms of the average cost per event is the diabetic lower extremity amputation, followed by diabetes long-term complications and perforated appendix right over here. Another way of thinking about this, though, because the PQIs really function as key indicators, so there's more costs going on than just the PQI events themselves. So one thing we can do to get at that is look at, well, what are the average costs of a typical member without one of these PQI events versus a member with one of these events? And so you can see here, this is the typical study member without a PQI, and this is the typical study member with a PQI, and these are their per member per month costs. And the difference is huge. For those without a PQI, it's $473. For those with a PQI, it's $3,300. So that's a massive cost difference that cannot be explained solely by the PQI hospital event itself. In terms of the top two groups of members here with the PQI events, those with diabetes long-term complications or lower extremity amputation would be the costliest members in terms of per member per month costs. If you want to break out the overall cost distribution of just the PQI events, the cost area that makes up the greatest amount of cost is the inpatient facility costs at 73%, followed by the practitioner costs, which would be for the providers and surgeons interacting with the patient at 11%, and absenteeism costs at nearly 12%. if you want to look at the variation, the average cost distribution for the individual PQIs, you can see that there's some variation in the proportions of the six cost categories across PQIs. Specifically, what I draw your attention to is the adult asthma, uncontrolled diabetes, and dehydration. So here's adult asthma, uncontrolled diabetes, dehydration. They have the highest proportion of absenteeism costs, and then the angina without procedure has the highest proportion of outpatient costs. Something else we decided to try with the PQIs related to chronic conditions, is we decided to estimate the presenteeism costs. And we did this based on a review of the literature for chronic conditions related to absenteeism and presenteeism, and constructed ratios out of that. And if we factor these additional presenteeism costs in, it increased the overall cost by 24%. So the presenteeism costs are, these are people that are at work, but their productivity is lower because of their condition. And as you can see from here, the diabetes PQIs, hypertension, and adult asthma really stand out as being highest for the presenteeism costs. And there's definitely variation in these costs by disease category. Okay, so that's it for the findings. In terms of limitations, obviously the first one is generalizability. Almost 90% of the population was located in the southeastern United States. Again, this is a population of employed workers, commercially insured population, ages 18 to 64. So that's going to be different, as I mentioned earlier, than the rates that AHRQ constructs. However, this is valuable information to know from an employer perspective. There are some additional cost areas that we couldn't measure, short and long-term disability and workers' compensation. Our absenteeism estimates were conservative due to the reliance on a medical claim, so we would have missed those absences that occurred outside of our confinement period that we constructed. And also, because the analysis was limited to the confinement period of the hospital admission and discharge as the time frame, it's likely that we missed additional costs related to these events that were incurred before the admission or after the discharge. And those would be things like rehab costs, pharmaceuticals, as well as additional absenteeism and presenteeism. Okay, so just wrapping up here, in conclusion, there are substantial additional costs for each of the PQIs beyond the costs incurred solely due to inpatient hospital charges, approximately 27% additionally, plus an additional 24% for the chronic PQIs. There was variation in terms of incidence, cost per event, and proportions of the six cost categories within each confinement period. As a result, expanding the scope beyond the hospital claim on which the PQI event is recorded provides us with a broader perspective of total costs. This leads us to conclude that PQI hospitalizations are more costly than may have originally been thought, and that provides additional economic incentive to better manage these ambulatory care-sensitive conditions upon which the PQIs are based. And also in the future, it would be good to expand this cost analysis beyond the confinement period to include other cost areas as well. That's it. Thanks.